Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever gone to one of those behind-the-scenes tours? Like behind-the-scenes tour of Top Gun 2? Or maybe you went to a winery and you got to go behind the tasting room to see the production of the wine. Nice. Or maybe you like to watch a television show like This Is Us on NBC, and afterwards you can go online and watch another hour of the actors talking about themselves. Pretty cool, right? Or how about Let's Go Inside Trader Joe's? That's a podcast I like to listen to. You get to hear what happens and how they pick the products and everything that goes on behind the scenes. My point is, people have a fascination with the real story of the making, not just the end product that everyone sees. We are connoisseurs of the creative process, you might say, especially if it's something we are invested in. Now, there are exceptions, like sausage. Do you like the sausage? Don't ask how the sausage was made, they say. You might not like sausage anymore if you ask how the sausage is made. How about the resurrection of Jesus? Do you enjoy the end product? Do you want to go behind the scenes and discover how the resurrection came about? Warning, you do and you don't. The resurrection is a little bit like sausage. There's cross in there. There's suffering in there. There's dying and unbelief in there. All in the making of the resurrection. But hey, let's go inside the resurrection because you ought to be invested in it. For matters of life and death matter to all of us, not just a few. And I think you'll like the end product. Behind the scenes, we start with the women who were the first to the scene early on the first day of that first day of the week. These women were some of Jesus' disciples and witnesses of all that Jesus had done, the healing of diseases, the hearing about perhaps walking on the water, the casting out of demons. But most recently, they saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. A Friday before he dies is the day he rose Lazarus from the dead. And that was some of those women's brother. Yet what does it mean when the one who raises others himself lay now in the tomb? Obviously the women didn't know. They didn't think. They didn't believe that Jesus would rise. For they had brought spices with them so they could properly embalm the body rather than letting it get eaten by worms and bacteria. I told you, it's a little bit like sausage. Now, scatterbrained or perhaps tired or perhaps emotionally exhausted, I would be after seeing everything that they had seen on Good Friday, they forgot one important thing. None of these women are cross trainers. None of them would have the strength to move the stone back once they got there. En route to the tomb, they realized this, but they carried on anyway. Maybe several of them together could push. But when they got there, the cupboard was bare. In other words, the stone had already been rolled away, thank God, but in a way none of them could yet really appreciate. So they went into the tomb to do their work. But the tomb was empty. They didn't immediately start rejoicing and claiming, "He is risen." They may have been shocked, but not by the resurrection. Now, if the History Channel were reporting on this at this point, they probably would have said alien abduction, something like that. But in reality, they probably thought more like a stolen body. Who done it? The disciples are probably not the ones who did it because they were fearing being crucified like Jesus were, and they were away hiding. The women knew that. The women themselves didn't do it. The Romans and the chief priests had zero motivation to steal his body and risk making a legend out of a movement that they were trying to squash. But God did not let them linger in a false conspiracy theory for long. It says in the text that two mysterious messengers suddenly appeared in the tomb. Not too different than Christmas or other times when really significant things happen in the Bible. God sends messengers. Aliens? No. Angels. The message of the resurrection of Jesus does not originate with man, but with God. He sent his own messengers to tell of his work, the raising of his son. "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" they asked the women. "He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you?" And they reminded the women of the words Jesus himself spoke from his mouth about his upcoming crucifixion and third day rising. Now here we see that even Jesus' own followers had been told, had heard from Jesus' own mouth, and yet none of them believed his words. When the women told the disciples later what had happened at the tomb, it seemed to them, it says, as an idle tale, a bedtime story. Where were the believers? Where were the people expecting the Mueller report? Where were the people expecting the great news of the resurrection that Jesus had told them about and told them about three times at least, as reported in the Gospels? Well, this all accords with the truth of God's word, even told in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. "Who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Implying that no one will believe in the most important thing God was going to accomplish with his son as Savior. No one would believe it. You wanted to go behind the scenes. What did you discover? That there are no believers early on the first Easter morning. Man by his own nature is turned away from God and his work. There is a stubborn inner rebellion that runs deep. It started in Genesis chapter 3. We all, after Genesis 3, want to live by sight, even though we've been kicked out of the garden, and not live by faith in what we hear from God's own mouth. This goes for the women who heard from the disciple, those two men, and then they told the disciples who also didn't believe, thought it was an idle tale. And yes, it also happens to us today. We don't want to believe even in the resurrection because we haven't seen it. But the good news on Easter Sunday is that this unbelieving state of sinners does not stop God from moving forward with his plan to rescue his creation from the disease that inflicts them. The disease that prefers autonomy, that is, independence from God, self-reliance, self-pursuit of fulfillment, self-idols of pleasure, self-medication for pain, self-comfort when dealing with death, rather than relying on the word of God and what he has done in time and space. God decided anyway to send his own son from heaven into the flesh, into our skin, and to suffer our kind of death that we deserve because he is unmoved by the rebellion and he doesn't change his mind. God sent his son to die and rise to show them a more excellent way. His way. A life with him as God, a life with a Savior who says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." And he sends messengers so that you hear and believe. The women later saw the living Jesus, as did the disciples. Saw the living Jesus. Next week, I think you'll hear how Thomas gets to touch his wounds and put his finger into the nail marks, touching the seeing the risen body. They really get the verification soon. And so they believe the messenger's witness. And they become the greatest witnesses of Jesus that we've ever had. The original apostles went to the ends of the earth, went to their own deaths. They wouldn't have done that for a lie. They did it for that which was true and verified to them, so that we could hear and that by faith believe what God has revealed to them, the body of the risen Savior who spoke and ate and drank and blessed them. The Lord Jesus revealed himself to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords over death, and as you'll hear, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. The behind-the-scenes look at the resurrection of Jesus early on the first Easter morn is a reminder of unbelief and of why Jesus rose. To confirm God's word. To show God's grace and glory for sinners blinded by sin itself. For those who hear to repent and believe. For those who will walk with God until their own tomb and after by their own resurrection from the dead. Behind the curtain of this life is the making of another. It's called the resurrection and the life. Where will you spend your days, having heard of God's plan and fulfillment again, the plan and fulfillment of Jesus and his resurrection? Will you remain hiding out in unbelief, preferring the darkness to light? We're walking in truth with fellow sinners in this world, believing what God did was for you. The tomb was empty because the cross was full. A Savior who was innocent took your place as a guilty sinner because God cares for you. Or simply put, God loves you. God wants you to rise free, forgiven, to walk with him. God wants you to drown to sin daily and rise as a new man and walk with Jesus in the resurrection and the life. That's the behind-the-scenes look at the making of the resurrection. Just remember that the curtain that once separated the holiest place of the temple to the holier place has been torn in two. At Jesus' death, it ripped in two. You now have access to the living one, access to God, to the resurrection and the life. That's the behind-the-scenes look, even though now it's temporarily open front and center to be believed by faith until God calls us home. May God grant you believing hearts and open ears and rejoicing hearts, knowing what he has done with the open tomb was for you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.